things in the temptations of the wilderness, his teaching in the synagogue, when it says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it always was when he taught. And then we saw his prayer and the power that he received in prayer. And if he needed prayer, truly needed. Now tonight, we look at his compassion. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 36. Matthew 9. And verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad, the sheep having no shepherd. Because they fainted, they were weak, they were weary. And now in verse 35, we understand that he's interacting with the people is what led to his compassion for them. And Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel, went about their cities and villages, and had compassion. We will not get compassion shut away in our home.
That's right. Yeah.
We will not get compassion talking and interacting only with our comfortable circle.
Right.
Yeah. We need that comfortable circle of people. We need that security of our home. But it is to enable us and equip us, if you please, to go out where people are. I'm just giving you some time to think.
Amen. That's right.
Now listen, whether you are an introvert or an extrovert, you know what an introvert is, don't you? It's an ear. You know what an extrovert is? The mouth. Whether you are shy or outgoing, timid or bold, whatever terms you want to use, matters not. What matters is that we have compassion. And when he was moved with compassion on them, he went amongst them. And he interacted with them. He taught. Do you think anybody may have asked questions? I imagine. Okay. And it says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because he saw their condition. They were weak. They were weary. Because they fainted. And they were scattered abroad, the sheep having no shepherd. It's a sad thing that a sheep do not have a shepherd. A sheep needs a shepherd. There are some animals that might make it alone, but a sheep needs a shepherd. What protects them, leads them, guides them. And so he had compassion. Had that compassion as he interacted with the people. Now, we can interact with people. If you go to a place of employment, work, where there are other people, we can interact with them. To interact with people does not mean we must do what other people do.
That's right. That's
right. We do not have to participate in their sin in order to participate in their life. Now they know that we're a believer. Oh, there are always those who will try us. You know, there will always be those who will. I remember when I drove a school bus, where his Bible first started, it had to work outside, and I drove a school bus. And most of the arrivals were just fine, ordinary students. But there were those put that pedal to the metal as legally bad as I can go and get that kid to his stop. Because the more I tried to enforce my righteousness on them, the worse they became. And so you don't have to participate in their sin in order to interact with them. We had a fellow, a number of you have known Randy Wilbur. He bore a witness when he worked. He's on disability now, but when he worked at Zippo, he was in maintenance, and that got him into all departments. And he would let it be known he was a believer. He would do it like if somebody said, well, my husband has to have surgery, so is it okay if we pray for him? And I'll ask our church to pray for him. Different ways of that sort, he let people know that he was a believer. And people would then seek him out when they had a need, had a prayer request, had a burden. And so we can interact with them. Look, if you will, at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You know, the imminent danger that you and I have as believers, faithful, here on a Wednesday night, okay, loving the Lord, the imminent danger or threat to the average Christian is not gross backsliding, but to wander. To wander is to sin through ignorance. The hare. If a sheep needs a shepherd to keep it in line. Because all that the sheep is concerned with is that next tuft of green grass. So it eats it here. And what does it see in front of it? See, as far as it can see, there's another green tuft of grass. So it goes to it. He goes to it, and he goes to the next one. Now, if he doesn't have a shepherd to keep him in line, he's going to wander.
That's right.
Out.
Amen.
You know, it isn't that the sheep looks up and says, how far away can I get from the shepherd? No, he's just doing it daily, or bite by bite. And so it is that many of us as Christians, it isn't a matter, and it doesn't mean we can't. And it doesn't mean that there aren't some who do it. But mostly, it isn't that we wake up one morning and say, I'm done with this. I'm going to run away from God. No, it's just a wander.
Yeah.
Okay? And this won't matter that much. And then that won't matter that much. And we just wander away from God. But we must beware of this matter of wandering.
Yeah.
Because obviously we can end up far from God. And after a while, a person can like that wandering. That's what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah chapter 14, and verse 10. Jeremiah 14:10, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sin. We can't bring judgment on ourselves. If we allow ourselves to just wander. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit will make us aware of what we're doing. We may not be sinning the biggest sin we've ever been capable of sinning, but if we're willing to wander, it can take us away. When I say sin through ignorance. That is, without knowledge, there's times where we may not know what is the right or the wrong in a thing. The Spirit of God will lead us. But when we know and just decide, well, it can't be that bad. That's one. But Jesus had compassion. He looked on the people. They were as a sheep without a shepherd. And he tells us very clearly in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Then he goes on and he says in verse 37, then saith he, he just said, he saw the people, he moved to compassion, they need sheep as shepherd. Then he goes in verse 37, he says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth labor into his harvest. Well, that's not that interesting. He just described the need as a people as sheep without a shepherd. And then he goes into the analogy of a harvest. He says a harvest is plenty. He didn't say there's lots of sheep out there. We need more shepherds. He says the harvest is plenty.
Right.
Pray the Lord, send in laborers. And so he has the ability to combine the two different analogies that make the same point. And he had compassion. And then, I think we have time yet to look at John chapter 15. Because this has to do with friendship. He has compassion, and of course, we're to be like Jesus so that we should have compassion. And we get that by interacting with people, caring for people. And then in John chapter 15 is the matter of friendship. John 15, I'm going to read beginning of verse 12. John 15, 12. This is my command, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love? Sacrificially. He gave himself, literally. And so, we are not expected literally to give ourselves and die for someone as he did for us. But the way in which he loved was to sacrifice. And so it is that in order to have the compassion he had, in order to care about people as we need to care, it will require some sacrifice. Time. Energy. Heart. Mind. And those kind of sacrifices are every bit as strenuous as physical manual labor. As a matter of fact, they can tax the whole being of a person even more than physical. But this was Jesus. It says, love like I love. Lay down his life for his friends. Sacrifice. Jesus, I'd really rather go home tonight. Really, I'd rather not go out tonight or this afternoon. I've got so many things to do. What do you do? And soon you can find yourself like in a revolving door. That's why it's important that we're led of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important that we are sensitive to the Savior so that we have His leading. I mean, we're the witness. Go to downtown Cuba. Walk a few blocks each way. You're going to pass people.
Right.
Can you stop and talk to each other? Or do we witness? Yeah. When you believe in the Spirit of God.
Right.
You see, it's not possible to just talk to everybody you see. But the Spirit of God knows who He wants you to talk to.
Amen.
And now if you're at work or in an area, this is your neighborhood, you're interacting with people. Again, that doesn't mean the only thing you're going to do is preach to them. You're going to interact with them. And you're asking the Lord to use you, to help you. And in the process, He will. Now, I've got an illustration that's in the form of a prayer request. There was a young lady who passed our store and chatted with her. And a young lady was making an application. And so Pat said, well, I'll pray for you. And she said, I'd appreciate that. Pat saw her several weeks later. And she got the job. And she thanked her for praying. And so she's been praying. Now, Lord, how can I be a witness to her? You see, there's a distinction between being a witness and verbally witnessing. And she wanted to be able to interact with. And another situation's come along that she's asked prayer. Yeah. Saw her. Says, I'm glad to see you again. I have something else for you to pray for me. Now, what Pat's doing is just praying, Lord, how can I be a witness to her? It's obvious that she is sensitive to that aspect of spiritual life. Now, I said to Pat when she shared with me, I said, you wonder if it's a Christian mother praying for this young lady? Do you wonder if maybe there's a grandmother?
Amen.
Or maybe a Sunday school teacher?
Amen.
Wonder who might be praying for her, that God put you in her path. You see? And when she first heard the young lady's need, what came to Pat's heart was, I'll pray for you. Not, well, boy, I hope everything goes good. I wish you the best. Wishing doesn't get anything done.
No, sir.
But praying can.
Yes, sir.
You see? And so, this is part of the sacrifice of loving. He says now in verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Really, there's a condition to it, huh? Yeah. Yeah, there's a condition. You can't call yourself my friend if you do me dirty.
Right.
Come on. You can't call yourself my friend if you talk about me behind my back.
Right. Come on.
You can't call yourself my friend if you don't interact with me in a positive and helpful manner. And so when verse 14 says, Jesus, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And we can't call ourselves His friends. Have Him as a friend. We use His name, cussing and cursing. If we don't have time to speak to Him, let it be prayer. If we don't have time to listen to Him, let it be Bible reading. And yet want to call ourselves His friend. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And so, now, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. His relationship with us is as a friend. Now, that made me think of Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus says, my relationship with you is as a friend. Our relationship to Him, we are a servant. The Apostle Paul in several places, we'll just turn to one, Romans chapter 6. There are several places where the Apostle Paul Romans chapter 6, refers to himself as a servant. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, we have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 4, 5, Ephesians 6, 6, Philippians 1, 1, 1 Peter 2, 16. I know you're not remember all that. But you can even write that down. Open your concordance to servants.
Amen.
And you'll see where the verses are. That's how I found them.
Amen.
I'm so smart, I know them. And so I knew they were there, but I read them. But I'm amazed with the minds of some. But nevertheless, Paul called himself a servant. He said, I, Paul, a servant, and Timotheus, greet you, and so on. The kind of language that he uses. And so there's a friendship. So we're going to be like Jesus. We're supposed to live like Jesus. So that means we need to have a friendship and a friendliness with people. Don't you like coming to church and seeing the church family? When we left the driveway tonight, Pat said, it seems like forever since we were there. The good services there in the settlement. There were just 15 people. They need a pastor. If the Lord puts them on your heart, pray for God to give them a pastor. I told them about Evangelist McVay and he can come preach and explain that he will get other churches in the area so they will come just for their services. So, but it's good to come. Why? Because we get friends
with.
We have friends with us. Maybe I could get in trouble for this. I think it was last week. We're going to end that tonight.